Hello, this is Billy Brammen, the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Monday, August 6. You may or may not remember that back on July the 16th, and that week, Monday through Friday, the 16th through the 20th, we began a series on Revelation, the book of Revelation. So you might want to go back on our archives and get the beginning of this series, which was that week, week one, and then we did a second week, July 23rd through 27. The next week, which was last week now, the week previous to this, we had the terrible tragedy happening in Aurora, Colorado. And so we did a week of teaching on that and on the end time activity of the enemy of God, which fit right into the book of Revelation teaching. So today we're going to take it back up in series as we're going. And the last place we were on Friday, July 27, was one of the churches, the Church of Pergamon. And we were speaking about that evil kingdom that is there. But now today we're going to do just a little bit of review. Very fast one. And since we are talking about the seven churches, we'll begin our view there. In the book of Revelation, God gives the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. John writes a cover letter and sends it to seven existing churches at the time. John the Revelator was in the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. The Aegean Sea is between Greece on the west and Turkey to the east. And all seven churches that this letter originally went out to, this prophecy as it is called, the book of Revelation, were churches then in existence. Attempts had been made on John's life. John was the only apostle that did not die a horrific, terrible death. He died a natural death, and he was the only one. It seems that God protected him. He was put into boiling oil. A second century historian reports he was thrown into boiling oil in Rome, but he came out alive and unhurt. So they sent him then to the Isle of Patmos in exile. Now, he's in his 90s when he has this appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only book we have of Jesus, the risen Lord, standing and appearing and speaking. And so John then receives this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and sends it and writes a cover letter to the seven churches. These are seven existing churches at the time. It's not all inclusive. There were other churches. There was a church at Colossus. There was a Jerusalem church there, the church at Philippi. But these seven may have been representative. And so we are told in the early part here that the seven stars that Jesus had are angels in his hand. And there are 55 references to angels in the book of Revelation. And it seems that an angel is assigned to each of the seven assemblies to provide assistance, to be God's messengers to the church and to the pastor, and even God's plan of communication. So each of these seven churches had seven angels, according to what Jesus said. We see from Hebrews chapter 1 that the angels are all, in verse 14, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. And so then we see here the actual reference to them as the angels to the churches. Psalm 91, Psalm 34 also speak of angels being sent, God camped all around about us, and the help that they are to us. Now, there are some things in these seven churches which are spoken to every one of them. Every one of the seven assemblies were urged to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That tells us that the Holy Spirit is speaking to the churches always, and we hear him not with our outer ears, but with our inner ears. So the utmost number one instruction to the churches is hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If that was number one then, it's number one now. I remember that Kenneth E. Hagin, for whom I worked, was told in an open-eyed vision of Jesus, in 1957 it came, the number one thing you can teach my children is how to be led by the Spirit. The number one thing you can teach them in the last days is how to be led by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit, we were told in John 14, 15, 16, is sent to guide the church. So you can see that it's utmost importance that we don't drown him out with constant noise, constant activity, even in our church services, but that we can always be listening to him for his guidance. It's of utmost importance in these very critical days we're walking in right now. So something that ran through all the seven messages, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And another thing that runs all through the seven churches, the messages to them, is that every assembly, even the ones in the very worst shape, had overcomers in that church. And he said to the overcomers, he spoke each time, this is what I promise to the overcomers. The Greek word nikeo, to conquer, there's no hint in all the New Testament that we should ever be overcome. But the church is to always be overcomers. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him, that Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Every overcomer in the book of Revelation is promised rewards. Satan's destiny is to be overcome. And so we see these seven churches. We've already started talking about these churches, and we got down to Pergamon, where the seat of Satan was. In each of these churches, he cautioned against false doctrine. He cautioned against the different churches, but he cautioned against the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of Jezebel, those lying about who they were. And so we know that then correct doctrine is very important to the church. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. We hear of the apostles' doctrine in Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Doctrine's not a bad word. Doctrine is just simply means teaching. Romans 6:17 says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's why our offer this week is Faith Food Daily Devotions by Kenneth E. Hagin. When I was working for Kenneth E. Hagin Sr., who's now living in heaven, when I was working for him, his marvelous, I remember when I first came to work for him, I did a series on an understanding series. And one of the things that we needed to understand was righteousness. That's the first time that I'd ever known that he had given unto us his righteousness. Praise God. You can grow in faith, Brother Hagin said, but you can't grow in righteousness. Righteousness is bestowed upon us. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So, and then he taught on the Zoe life of God, Brother Hagin, and the new creation realities and baptism with the Holy Spirit and spirit, soul, and body, the makeup of man, all these wonderful, wonderful doctrines and truths of Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. The Lord spoke to me one day while I worked for him and said, take his doctrines and put it into a year's devotions, bite-sized pieces, that every one of his doctrines can stay alive, his teachings in men's heart, because we have to have right doctrine. So if you'll call us at 1-800-972-3447, we will make sure that you get Kenneth E. Hagin's book, Faith Food, Daily Devotions. There's a charge for it, but we're offering it for less. Now, we have come through the Church of Pergamon, and you really need to listen to that. If you didn't, I shared some experiences with you about being in that place, about hearing about Satan's seat and where it is, Pergamon. Then the next church that he speaks to in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18 is Thyatira. And the Lord always started out with something good about each of these churches. These things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like brass. Verse 19 of chapter 2. I know your works and charity and service and faith and your patience and your works. And the last are more than the first. Every time he started out with something good about the churches. But then he would say the correction. We're told in the book of Hebrews that if we're his sons and he loves us, he will discipline us. So in these churches, he disciplined them. He told them what they needed to change. There are things that need to be changed. And the Lord will tell you about them in your churches. Verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. And here he speaks of Jezebel and her teaching and her seductions. And he said, I gave her, verse 21, space to repent of her fornication, which is sexual sin. This was involved in sexual sin right in the church. And she repented not. And I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery and into great tribulation, and on and on. And then he says something very telling of the Lord, verse 23, I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Works. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. But it is written in the very same chapter that tells us that in Ephesians, we are saved unto good works that he ordained we should walk in. So the Lord does search the reins, our inner man. He searches our hearts, and he will give unto every one of us according to our works. I read the vision of Booth, William Booth, who started Salvation Army. And when he had this vision, he said that he didn't seem to be himself. He seemed to be like he himself was always mindful of souls, but he in this vision that he had, a night vision, he grew sick and died. And nothing the doctors did for him could work. And he stood at the anteroom, the before room to heaven, and it was like a beautiful paradise with flowers and trees and everything that everyone says. But they said, angels said to him, we don't know if you can stay or not. And a book was brought out. And the book had his sins before he was born again, blotted out, page blank. His sins after he was born again, blotted out, page blank. But then there was another section. And that was, what did you do with the gifts that were given you? What did you do with love? That was the last sermon I heard Brother Hagin preach. So gifts are given to every one of us. We have an accountability for those gifts. And we will receive marvelous and wonderful future reward forever for the deeds done in our body. He will give us to us. Praise the Lord, he's wonderful and not forgetful. This is Billy Brim, inviting you to be back with us tomorrow in the book of Revelation. Shalom.